Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, April 5th. I'm Ray Graff. It's been a while since we have talked craft beer and brewing, but we're doing it today. We welcome Erica Anderson of Unified Beer Works in Malta, New York, John Post from The Beer Diviner, Hutch Kugelman of the brewery at the CIA, and Roger Savoy of Hennessy Homebrew Emporium and Emporium Farm Brewery. You got a question about beer? The types of beers, brewing beers, ingredients for beers, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Hutch, Erica, John, and Roger will roll out the barrel after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we talk beer. We haven't done that in about a year, so joining us today is Erica Anderson of Unified Beer Works in Malta, New York. It's a brewery well known for great hazy IPAs, fruited sours, lagers, stouts, and saisons. Also with us is Hutch Kugelman of the brewery at the CIA, an educational microbrewery at the Hyde Park campus. It was named New York State Brewery of the Year in 2019. Hutch is also president of the New York State Brewers Association. Dr. Jonathan Post used to be an English professor. Now he's known as the Beer Diviner. Seriously, the Beer Diviner Brewery and Tap Room in Cherry Plain is New York's first farm brewery. Roger Savoy is from Homebrew Emporium, celebrating its 25th anniversary. It's a one-stop destination for people who make their own beer, wine, and cheese. Roger also runs the Emporium Farm Brewery. You got a question about beer or brewing? Four experts in the house today. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. Hello, brewers. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Let's go around the room. Erica Anderson, what's new over at Unified? It's been a while.
You're starting with me.
Well, don't feel pressure. What's going on?
We're looking at our 6th anniversary coming up in October. I mean, we've got a few months to go yet, but we're getting there. But got live bands on Saturdays. We've got a great kitchen, all sorts of fun things going on.
I love the story on your website about how you and your husband formed the brewery, and you started out as home brewers, right?
We did, yeah, brewing in our garage. We actually were getting a lot of ingredients back in the day from the Homebrew Emporium, actually. Yeah, there you go.
And so you have learned this craft as you go along, and every year gets a little bit better, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You just keep tweaking and dialing things in, and yeah.
Well, I'm going to be looking for an upgrade. Last year's beer from Unified was off the charts great. I don't know how you can improve on it this time, but we'll find out. All right, no pressure. Hutch Kugelman from the brewery at the CIA. You know, you've been tougher to get on the show than Elvis. I gotta be serious here.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a busy man, but really, I had to stay at home too much. So
is that the thing? Yeah. How are things going at the brewery at the CIA?
Things are great, actually. We're on trimesters, so it's an educational brewery. We're about 2.5 weeks left of our semester, so students are buckled down hard, but also ready to blow off some steam. So
now. It sounds like a lot of fun. If I was a student and I said, oh my gosh, I got a chance to learn brewing, it would be a no-brainer. But it's more difficult than one might imagine, yeah?
It is, yeah. I mean, the class is a lot of fun. It's popular, as you can imagine. College kids like beer. There's a big shocking news story for you there.
But it's a
more challenging class than they think it is. Very science-focused.
Yeah.
But it's very popular. Always fills up every semester.
You know, our mutual friend John Fisher, also from the CIA, texted me a little while ago and said, hey, Hutch is also the president of the New York State Brewers Association, which was somehow not in your bio. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a recent occurrence. I've been on the board for about 7 years.
And so you can boss everybody around in the room?
No, absolutely not. No,
no, you sure?
Zero authority, but more responsibility. It's a win-win, really.
It doesn't sound like a win-win. But
no, it's great. It's really an honor to serve, and we do our best to try and promote New York State beer.
How many brewers are there in New York State?
530, give or take.
Jeepers, creepers. Yeah. Now, go back. I was thinking back to the late 80s when Bill Newman had his brewery downtown in Albany, down by Menansway. How many were then? Two? Three?
I can tell you that the previous high for breweries had been in the late 1870s. Mm-hmm. We had about 390 breweries.
Wow.
And by the 1970s, we had five.
Really?
Yes.
So the difference between the breweries back then was they sold a lot of beer. Most of the breweries now are pretty small.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of volume up and down the Hudson Valley in particular, in Albany area.
Albany was
Brooklyn had something like 50 breweries. Yeah. Mm. So really, Hudson Valley was a big shipping region for sure.
Dr. Jonathan Post, how did you make – now, also read your story on the website, but tell us about how you made your way from – being an English prof to being the beer diviner. It's quite a story.
Well, the beer diviner was a name that was given to me. I went to Africa, and I was showing them how we made beer. I was invited to an indigenous village, and they asked me to build a small brewery there. And I came back 2 years later, and I spent time with an old woman learning how to use local ingredients. And the shamans invited me into the divination room, and I didn't want to go in. I was exhausted. And I sat there for 2 hours. My back is killing me. And then they say, they start laughing, and they say, it's about beer. And I said, I thought, well, of course it's about beer. I've been in here, you know, in this village brewing. And they said, no. The spirit tells us you're a beer diviner.
Huh.
And I said, what's a beer diviner? They said, we have no idea. There's never been a beer diviner. You got to figure it out.
Well, the beer diviner was New York's first farm brewery and tap room, right?
Me and Good Nature Brewing. We got our licenses at the same time.
And Cherry Plain is, now for those who don't know, Cherry Plain's a little place. Where is it?
In the Taconics, the brewery is in a hollow in the mountains.
Yeah. So what's the closest town to it?
Berlin or Steventown.
Yeah. So that's, and it you're open on the weekends only, right?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I got to get over there. The pictures look great. It looks like a homey place to have a beer.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a great group of regulars who come in, a lot of locals. People who have houses who come up from the city. So it's a very eclectic group, but a good sense of community.
How did you get the beer bug, though? I mean, you were in academic work, and then suddenly you become a brewer. How did that transformation happen?
Well, I was getting my doctorate degree at SUNY Albany. I was working for a not-for-profit construction company, and I came to a site. I had organized all these volunteers, and none of them showed up. So I started wandering around Hudson Street, and I'm walking, you know, I'm looking on the cobblestones, and my feet seem to be going in their own direction. And then they stopped, and I look up, and there was a little sign that said Beer Necessities. And my boots went into the store. I had no idea where I was. And I saw all these scientific instruments, and science was never my forte. And then this little man behind the desk said, do you want to make beer? And I said, I can make beer.
Huh.
And he said, yeah. Next thing I know, I'm talking to him, and an hour or so later, I'm on the street with a home brewing kit. So it wasn't me. It was my boots.
All right. Well, I got to tell you something, though. Just saying I want to brew beer does not always translate. Roger Savoy from Homebrew Emporium, you know, back in the day, long about before you were open, I tried brewing a beer in about mid-'80s.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst cidery. I can't even say what it was, but it wasn't good. You started. Really, it was a pretty cool idea. You provided a lot of the supplies and the know-how to do this right. Had you been around when I tried it, maybe I would have succeeded. And then when did the Emporium Farm Brewery open up?
That was about 6 or 7 years ago, about right around the time Unified opened up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been doing the home brewing for 25 years, and a lot of the local breweries have started as home brewers. As Erica said, Jonathan he still works with us.
Regular.
Yeah.
Regular still. So
Did you lose your headset?
I lost my headset.
Oh, splendid. Right. Well, we're going to take a break soon. We'll try to fix it.
No problem. Okay, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, well, fine. You know what?
That's all right.
Why don't you regroup? We'll have a beer. I'm sure things will get much clearer after that. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. No headset for Roger. I'll fix that. We'll be back. It's a Food Friday, Ray Graff, with you, and it is Beer Day on this program. Erica Anderson is here from Unified Beer Works in Malta, New York. Hutch Kugeman from the brewery at the CIA. Jonathan Post from the Beer Diviner Brewery and Tap Room, as well as Roger Savoy from Homebrew Emporium, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and also the Emporium Farm Brewery. You got a question about brewing or beers in general? 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. All right, Roger, you've plugged in your headphones. You've had a sip of beer. What the blue blazes were you talking about?
I don't know. Fill me in.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's just have a sip then. What are we drinking here?
I think that's his.
What are we doing?
Well, I have in front.
Let's go with
this one,
the 1911.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is mine. This is a light ale based on a 1911 recipe from a British brewery called Russell's.
Oh, it's this one. Okay. How did you come up with a 1911 recipe, and why is it special?
I'm interested in historic beers. We were involved a little bit with an Albany Double X that was done about 10 years ago at the pump station. And there's this book that we have called the Homebrewer's Guide to Vintage Beers. And this has recipes from UK beers going back to 1811. And we modified this because we can't do the techniques, but we do have ingredients.
What do you mean you can't do the techniques?
When we mash the beer, the grains to get the sugars out of them, we set it up in a basically just at a certain temperature and leave it at that temperature. 150 years ago, they would raise the temperature, drop the temperature, flood it, pollute it. I mean, they had all sorts of ways that they did it.
So why don't you do that now?
Oh, it's complicated, and it takes all sorts of equipment that we need.
Okay, understood.
And not necessary.
All right. Well, this is very nice. It's very light. When you say this is an English recipe?
This is an English
recipe. I would have expected much more malt. That's just my preconception. This has a little bitterness to it. It's good.
Little bit. Yeah.
A little hops in there.
What's the grain in there?
Some two-row, six-row, flake corn, invert sugar. 2 ounces of Fuggles for a 5 gallon batch.
Fuggles. What's my Fuggle?
Pretty simple. Straightforward.
Very simple. That's it. Yeah. Okay. The Fuggles are a type of hops typically used in England.
All right. I think I saw that band once. All right. That's very good.
The Fuggs.
That's right. The Fuggs, of course. Number here is 800-348-2551. It's Beer and Brewing with Roger Savoy from Homebrew Emporium. Jonathan Post, the Beer Diviner from the Beer Diviner Brewery and Tap Room. Hutch Kugeman from the brewery at the CIA, who is also the president of the New York State Brewers Association already, and Erica Anderson of Unified Beer Works in Malta, New York. That was very delicious. I understand you brewers are sort of choreographing this, so we have a nice taste sort of ramp here. What's next?
All right, so next we're going to be diving into the All New York All the Time, which is a newish light lager that we are brewing over at Unified Beer Works. Yep.
Okay,
salute.
So this is all New York State grain and hops. Features Pilsner malt from Hudson Valley Malt and Crystal hops from Indian Ladder Farms, actually.
Is Unified also a farm brewery?
We have actually a dual license, so we have both a microbrewery license and a farm license. So The farm license, the nice thing in New York State, it allows you to carry other New York State products as well. But then we're also using some of these beautiful ingredients from New York State as well. That's part of the deal.
Cheers. Here we go. Let's give it a shot. Nice. Yeah, that's not too heavy.
Good.
It's a quintessential dad beer.
What?
It's great.
Yeah, there's not there's not a
lawnmower.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So this is what's the alcohol on that?
This is only 4.7.
So that's a very nice light summer beer.
Yes, exactly.
Beer and brewing today on the program. 800-348-2551 is our number.
Yes.
All right, just hang in there, Raj. We're on the air. Let's see here. Before we get to the next round, let's grab an email. This is from Chris in Portland, Maine, who's driving through New York right now. Can we talk about the hazy East Coast IPA phenomenon for a second? Hands down, my favorite beer style is West Coast IPA, and hazy East Coast IPAs are perhaps my least favorite. Why are there so many hazy IPAs in this part of the country? What about the process makes them different, and would it make sense to give them a different name to avoid confusion? On more than one occasion, I've asked a bartender for a West Coast IPA, and they've said to me, sorry, we only serve local beer. Even they don't necessarily understand the distinction, and that's from Chris, who is driving through, presumably on his way back to Portland, Maine.
Well, first, I'd tell Chris he should stop in New York and buy some good beer while he's passing through here, right? We've got the best stuff here. I mean, he's not totally wrong. A lot of it has to do with education. You know, the market has gotten a little confusing, all these different IPAs out there. Certainly, I'm a West Coast IPA lover. You know, you get more of that firm background bitterness, nice, clear, crisp look to the beer. Versus the sort of more trendy hazy IPAs with the big fruit juicy flavors.
Is it still trendy now? I mean, it's been that trend has been going on for several years.
It's not a trend, but it's there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dominant part of the craft beer market.
Yeah,
keeping in mind, craft beer market is only a portion of the beer market in general, right? So
yeah, what makes it juicy? Now, my son, who is now of legal age, I got some beers, and I think it was from Southern Tier Brewing. I got a sampler. And he said, I love this juicy beer. And I said, I don't think there's any juice in there. Am I wrong about that?
Well, when I first tried Treehouse's beer, Julius, I didn't think it was a beer. I thought it was fruit juice.
Yeah.
It's because they've been able to come up with new hops, like Citra or Mosaic, and you dry hop it. You put it in the fermenter. And they're what are called low cumulone hops. So you don't get as much bitterness, but you get a lot of the fruity flavors.
Very interesting.
A lot of it also comes down to the way that the beer is brewed. So you tweak your temperatures a lot, too, when you're adding those hops. So you tend to use less bittering hops. So you would do an addition more toward the whirlpool side, what we call whirlpool side, where you're using some cooler temperatures, and that tends to not bring out the bitterness from the alpha acids. It brings out more of the nuances of those beautiful floral, juicy, citrusy flavors that you would get from those hops.
Very interesting. And you make some terrific IPAs, and you also make actual fruited sours, and we'll get to that eventually, too, but there's actual fruit in that,
right? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. It's brewing today, and this is from Christopher. Nope, it's from Robin, not Christopher Robin. Robin in Glens Falls. What would be the best yeast to use to make a good clone of Affligem Belgian Triple Ale? This ale is no longer imported. Do you know why, or are there any bottles kicking around anywhere? And that's from Robin in Glens Falls. I don't know that beer.
A lot of the Belgian yeasts kind of all came from the same place. A lot of them were shared across the breweries.
There's tons of Belgian triple yeasts out there. Yeah. White Labs, Y yeast, any number of them.
Just looking for something that's going to be very fruit forward, very estery, a lot of phenols. Yeah. That kicks off a lot of flavor. But a lot of the Belgian yeasts tend to really dominate the beer. So you want something that's going to take over.
Yeah, we carry all of those things if he's local.
Okay. Yeah. There's a question for Jonathan. So did you build the brewery in Africa? Is it still open? That's from Serena.
No, that was a bridge too far. It's probably the poorest country in the world, Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tried. I'd have had to get a big backhoe, and there weren't many backhoes in the whole country, to dig down.
Yeah.
The ground is hard. And
were you actually considering it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I had no plan on having my own brewery. When I built the brewery that is in Cherry Plain, the idea was to show investors that I could do a small brewery and then be able to build it in Burkina Faso. Yeah, and then it became like my man cave. I hung out with my friends, watched soccer, and the next thing I knew is like, well, I don't want to teach anymore. I want to brew beer.
Isn't that always the way? All right, well, let's have another beer, and then we'll grab some phone calls. What else do we have here?
So this is our flagship beer. It's called Mise en Place Wit.
And that is Hutch Kugelman from the brewery at the CIA.
So this is all brewed with student help as part of our class. This is a Belgian-style wit beer, traditionally brewed with a little bit of orange peel and coriander, but a lot of the flavor is really coming from the yeast. So a lot of the fruitiness being kicked off by the yeast in this beer.
Really?
Yeah.
So there are different types of yeast.
Very much so, yes.
Yeast is one of the most important things to develop your esters in the beer and can make one wort taste completely different than the same exact one. I mean, it's amazing.
100%.
So this probably kicks off a lot of banana, a lot of bubblegum aromas. Yep.
Definitely has some bubblegum to it.
Yep. Great with like soft cheeses, light fish, salads. Good at brunch.
By itself.
Good brunch beer. Good by itself. Yep.
Yes.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Hutch Kugelman's here from the brewery at the CIA. Erica Anderson from Unified Beer Works in Malta, New York. Jonathan Post from the Beer Diviner Brewery and Tap Room, and Roger Savoy from Homebrew Emporium and the Emporium Farm Brewery. Let's begin in Clifton Park. Andy, you're on.
Hi. Excuse me. I have a question about ESBs. You don't see them around much anymore. My favorite beer is Fuller's ESB, and I haven't seen that in a couple of years. I've found a couple of them around. There's one from Definitive, which I believe is in Maine, that's hard to find, and another brewery named Bluebird that I see occasionally at a couple of different beverage centers. But is that something that is starting to make a comeback? Because I am seeing a few more, but still, it's not very common.
All right. The ESB stands for bitters, right?
Extra special bitter.
What's so special about it?
Extra special bitter, yes.
Well, actually, the only brewery that's allowed to call itself ESB is Fuller's.
Yeah.
But it's like an amberish type beer. We carry.
Right, it's a little bit malty.
Yeah, yeah.
British style.
A little
beer.
Bit of color, up to 6% ABV. It's great beer. We carry one at our tap room if you want to stop over there. If you're a brewer, we'll even give you the recipe.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of those.
You carry it where? I didn't hear where you.
Yeah,
our tap room.
Yeah, and so all that contact information is on our website. It's voxpop.wamc.org. You'll find the show.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. Now go ahead, Erica.
Oh, I was just going to say, as far as the ESB style, we also make an ESB, but there's a lot of really beautiful old school styles that are starting to come back, and have a love-hate relationship with the app called Untappd.
Oh.
But
why?
That
Hold
is...
it. Stop. First, what's the app and why do you hate it sometimes?
Uneducated users.
For the brewers of the world, I don't have to say why we hate it. But it is actually really good to find different styles out there where you're at. So if you're traveling somewhere, you're here in upstate New York or downstate New York, whatever, you can actually search and see who has those styles.
Oh, interesting.
On tap. Yeah.
So that's handy.
That actually can be a really good resource.
Yeah.
The New York State Brewers Association has a great app, too. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes. Yep. But, 100%.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Plug you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's a great effort. If you're looking to find breweries near you, if you're traveling around the state, need directions, hours, connections to all the breweries, it's all on the New York State Brewer Station app.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that a lot of the people who come into my taproom are saying somewhat what you said earlier. You know, there's too many IPAs out there. I'm getting sick of IPAs.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is there's so many good different styles of beer out there that I think, you know, like a really good brown ale, which you don't see that much of anymore, is really good.
It's a great seasonal.
But it's its own particular style.
Yeah.
You know, the IPA, I won't call it a craze, has been going on so long that I was on board. And then I got off board for a couple of years, didn't want any, and now I'm sort of like, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, it's great style. What I heard or read is it's really the only specific style that came out of the U.S. There was India Pale Ale, but not really that good English, you know.
Whoa. They're great. They're just different than American.
Well.
If you don't like them, it's just a different style.
I mean, it started on the West Coast. And, you know, then the thing about the East Coast,
supposedly New England IPAs, it's not really an IPA. I mean, if you look at what the style guidelines of an IPA is.
All right.
But they change. You know, style guidelines evolve, unfortunately. You know, like they do, they change over time, and it is different.
If you're going to make a new thing, call it something else. I mean,
fair. You know. Fair.
Roger Savoy is the obstreperous one here today. Oh, so,
I got this thing.
Because he's the expert.
That's the beauty of beer, though, right? There's so many different ingredients, and there's so many different ways to treat them and handle them that you can invent new styles, such as the, and I'll call it the NEPA, the New England IPA.
NEPA.
Oh, that's the standard.
I mean, yeah, that's what we tend to call
it. But you said there's some of these styles coming back. What styles are we talking about?
Well, I mean, brown ales. Yeah, I am starting to see some more brown ales.
What about Scotch ales?
You brought an Irish Red, right?
I have an Irish Red.
I keep seeing those popping up from here and there. Vienna lagers.
There's a number of them that are doing English styles, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of lagers lately, too.
And Italian pilsners, which, by the way, we have a banging Italian
you guys
pilsner.
Did you bring it?
I didn't know because it's still sitting in a tank. But it's going to be coming out in May. We actually, so we love cycling at our brewery. So a lot of our lagers will actually try to time out with cycling events that happen in Europe. So that one in particular we released during the Giro Italia.
So they're drinking beers and cycling. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
Well,
cyclists aren't drinking them.
Oh, they're not. Oh, okay.
Oh, the poor man.
But the crowds in Europe that love those beers. So it actually creates a really good venue for European lagers, and those are some old school styles that are starting to come back as well. French pilsners, Italian pilsners, things of that nature.
I'm going to go around the room, and I'll start with you, Erica. What is you all have different styles that you offer from time to time. What's the most difficult one to get right?
Honestly, I will say any kind of European style pilsner or lager.
I completely agree because they need
a lot of time. They need to be clean. There's a lot of different
delicate
things that
if you make
there's nothing
any
to hide behind.
Any mistake shows up in those beers.
Yeah,
Hutch, do you agree?
I do. Yeah, I mean the softer and more subtle a beer flavor is, the harder it is to pull off. As someone else just said. There's no place to hide your mistakes.
Yeah.
And you're also trying to replicate something that's been around for 1,000 years. And you're trying to do it in a way against the hallmark products that you can also go buy. So if I really want to try and pull that off, it is very difficult.
I mean, my favorite type of beer, and I don't see it that often in microbreweries, is just a good old-fashioned Bock or a Maybach. And it's like that is what, to me, that's beer.
I will tell you,
breweries tend to make that seasonally. You tend to see that in the spring, if you're going to see it at all.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll even get the German stuff. I mean,
it's great
in the spring.
Beer. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, as long as it doesn't get too much light on the trip over, it's delicious.
You know, I'll tell you what, if you like that kind of beer, you should try something from, actually, I think it's from Wales, called Old Motor Oil. Did anyone hear? No. It's great. It's a great dark beer. It's awesome.
Way to sell it. What a great name.
this might be a good segue.
What do we got here?
Lagers only came in 1820s, 1830s.
In the
they
United
discovered
States.
Lager yeast. Yeah. It's got to be fermented at colder temperatures. Prior to that, the most popular beer, the beer that people drank the most, was porter. And right here is a maple sap porter, which I made all with maple sap, no water.
Really?
Yeah, and it's kind of...
No water.
I've done both recipes with regular water and maple sap. It's quite different with the maple sap.
That's amazing stuff, man. Yeah. That's really good.
It smells amazing.
Somebody told me that, maple trees, when the roots are pulling the water out of the ground, they add minerals to the water and they take out minerals that they don't want. So there's kind of a synergy going on there between the grain. It's almost, I think of it as kind of an alchemy.
Yeah.
Between, you know, nature, blood to nature, creates more nature.
That's really good stuff.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It smells like a fresh baked brownie.
Yeah, really good.
Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Brewing at Beer Today with Erica, Hutch, Jonathan, and Roger. And you will hit the phones. More emails coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, and it's Beer and Brewing. Hello, we're on the air. It's Beer and Brewing today. Erica Anderson, Hutch Kugelman, Jonathan Post, and Roger Savoy join us to answer your questions about beer. And we'll sip one more here, and then we'll go back to the phones. What do we have here?
Oh,
that's you.
Sorry.
That's okay. You're decanting.
I am. So this is our brand new dark Czech lager called Often Misunderstood. So not as dark as a Schwarz beer and not as light as a Dunkel. Lots of layers of flavors. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons that, and by the way, my husband does all of the naming. He has he has this wonderful creative brain specifically dialed for that.
Okay.
So that's why we call it Often Misunderstood, because people don't realize how many different grains go into a beer like this to build all the different flavors that come to something as what they would think might be very simple as a dark lager. So
I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's lighter than it appears. That's one of the things I find counterintuitive. Some of these dark beers actually are a bit lighter in body than they look.
Especially lagers, yeah.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We'll go to Pauling, New York. Peter, you're on.
Hi, really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I'm a long-term home brewer, been brewing almost 45 years, and I was really excited to hear the panelists saying that the most difficult beer is a lager. I actually won an award in 1980 for what I called an accidental lager that I made over the Christmas holiday season. And I put the carboy in a room that was unheated, and it wasn't planned. And I said, this is great. I tasted it, and I said, let's enter it. I got second place in Rochester. But the question is related to the beer, brewing process. I'm wondering, has anybody considered or tried a little bit of mixing up the beer brewing process with the wine brewing process, specifically related to sparging? And I'm wondering, has anybody tried pressing whole grains to get either right after the malting process or even boiling up the whole grains after the boiling process? In other words, eliminating the sparge process.
Yeah, I think you'd want to avoid boiling for sure. You're going to leach a lot of tannins out of the husk of the grain, and that's going to give you a lot of astringency in the finished beer. But the pressing process is basically what's called a mash filter, which is a completely different design than lautering and sparging. So with lautering and sparging, right, you're draining through the grain bed. You're rinsing through the grain bed. With a mash filter, you are crushing the grains very fine and then pressing them like you were describing for wine. It's a totally different design to a brewery. It's actually really traditional. You'll see that in a lot of really old school European breweries, as well as places like FX Matt and Utica. It's a much more large-scale industrial design.
Peter.
Okay, we're not going to see that in the home brewing world.
How much money do you have to spend?
Yeah.
We'll order it for you.
That's right.
All right, Peter.
Great. Thanks so much, Ed.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Beer and Brewing today. And let's go to Pattersonville. John, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I
just called up to say you were talking about EBS, I think it was, or ESB, I forget.
ESB.
Wolf Hollow has a EBS on tap right now, if anyone's interested in trying
Wolf
it.
Wolf Hollow, where's that?
Not sure if you're familiar with that brewery.
It's past Schenectady, west of here.
A good
joint.
Oh,
yeah, it's very well known. They're very fine brewery,
great, great brewery, yeah.
All right, and John, thanks for the call. Hutch, in your position as president of the New York State Brewers Association, do you have to go to all 500-plus brewers?
I don't have to. But
do you? Do you stop in?
I don't know if I have that much time. Yeah. Yeah, I try to stop in as many places as I can, especially if I'm in the area. I'll probably check out a few today.
You know, we talked about sort of everybody's journey here. How did you get involved with all this?
So I had an older brother that homebrewed, and so I kind of was introduced to it that way. And then after college, I taught middle school and didn't have any money. And seventh graders are they drove me into beer, basically. So I started homebrewing to deal with seventh graders.
Yeah.
And then decided I didn't like seventh graders a whole lot, but I really liked beer. So
I think
one step at a time, here I am, 22 years later.
Not a bad call there. Seventh graders can be difficult. That's certainly true. Deb and Troy, you're on. Deb? Hello, Deb. Deb
Hello?
You're on there, friend.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Sorry. So I love beer, but it doesn't love me. I cannot have the gluten that's in the beer. Tell me some good gluten-free beer so I don't have to drink cider all my life.
Deb, thanks for doing that because we have two or three emails with just that question. Does anybody have any ideas?
I can partly answer that.
Sure.
If you were listening earlier, I'd been brewing in Africa. And they can't grow barley in Africa. They can only grow sorghum and millet, which are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So when I tried to make a Western-style beer using sorghum, I discovered that back when in Nigeria, Nigeria banned the import of barley. Mm. And so Guinness had to figure out how to make Guinness with sorghum. And I contacted the guy at Guinness because I was trying to figure out the same thing. And sorghum is probably the main ingredient that's used to make a gluten-free beer.
Interesting. Deb?
We carry that syrup, sorghum syrup. You can also make it with rice and there's a few other
buckwheat.
I think spelt, buckwheat. Yep. Too, right? Spelt?
You can also look
spelt is a wheat.
Like
is
it
a
wheat? Brew it myself.
Yeah, Deb doesn't want to brew it herself,
Deb,
basically.
You can keep an eye out for what's called gluten-reduced beers.
Yep.
There are beers in the market that use a clarifying agent. It was just designed to make them look clear because protein makes beer look clear.
Yeah.
But it bonds with gluten and pulls the gluten out of solution.
Yeah.
And so depending on how sensitive you are to gluten, you may find that gluten-reduced beers work really well for you.
There's something to be said for lactobacillus. So a lot of people that are gluten intolerant can eat something like sourdough bread, for example. And if a brewery makes kettle sours or quick sours, quote unquote, a lot of the times they are actually souring those beers with lactobacillus, and the lactobacillus actually eats a lot of the gluten and then produces a lot of the sour flavor and all that good stuff. So if you like sours, I'm not saying guaranteed that, you know, it's going to
right. If you have celiac, that might be a real risk, right?
That would be a risk if you have celiac, but if your gut just has some issues with gluten, it might be worth trying a small sample of a sour beer and see if that actually works for you as well.
All right.
There's also a brewery called Steadfast Brewery that's local. I'm not sure if they're still in business, but they're a gluten-free local beer.
Okay. Deb, thanks for the call. This email from Sherry. I love local brews. Are any of you making Weiss beer?
Yep.
Wheat beer.
Yeah.
Yes. We actually have a spring Weiss coming up soon. Yeah, we're going to be releasing that probably within the next week or two.
Back in the old days, we'd have Berliners and big glasses with raspberry syrup around the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know how authentic that was, but that was the way it was done.
Real German. No, that's extremely authentic.
Yeah.
Probably one of my most popular beers is a blueberry Hefeweizen.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a summer beer for us, so that'll be out in the summer.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines. It's Beer and Brewing Today. Jason's in Middletown. Jason.
Hi there. Three quick things. One, I think the old motor oil, or I'm sorry, the old motor oil you were talking about, that's Harveston's old engine oil.
Engine oil,
delightful stuff.
Yes.
Harveston's old engine oil.
I think that's...
Two-part question. One, I've really enjoyed the Finnish Sati-style beers. You can occasionally find them, but I wondered if you knew of any local sources that were in that style.
Wow, even the dude from the CIA is shaking his head here.
No, I mean, you pick something very specific, that's for sure. I mean, is there someone doing it? Absolutely, I'm sure somebody is.
Yeah.
Do I know who they are? Nope.
Okay.
Well, hang on a minute.
I'm not even sure.
Jason, thanks for the call. What is it?
It's a Japanese?
It's Finnish. It would be made with more aromatic herbs and things like that for bitterness rather than hops, which is how a lot of beers would have been brewed originally.
Mm-hmm. They probably filter it with the
through the juniper branches,
juniper
probably.
Branches,
yeah,
right. Right.
I just want to go back to something Jonathan said. You said at a time they were not importing barley. Why did they bar the importation of barley?
Well, it's Nigeria.
Currency.
I don't know.
But what was the thinking there?
It's probably currency.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Europe, United States, whatever, has a history of controlling the economies of these countries. And they figured, you know, maybe we can do as well as or what we need to do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What do we have here?
Oh, this is a smash beer, which means single malt, single hop, just as theirs was. But this is a different hop, and it's a local hop. I'm sorry, not local. It's brewed in Rochester. It's a new hop. And it's and we use convergent grains from Albany. And the grain actually comes from the Ithaca area. So this is a different hop. It's not a citrusy one.
No, it has a little sweetness.
And the hops is more of a melony, grassy, whatever. But it's not citrus.
Okay.
Anyway, it's an interesting difference.
Not bad at all, Roger. Let's go to Poughkeepsie and Maureen. You're on.
Hi. A little late to the party, but I was late to learning to drink beer too. I didn't do it until I was really legal. My mother scared the living daylights out of me. But at any rate, on the odd name beers, it's almost like the UK and Ireland have a real goal to give beers kind of revolting names. two of my favorites that I found over there were Kinnegar Scraggy Bay from Donegal, and I don't think they export yet. I wish they would. And Neck Oil, which
Neck
when
oil.
I went into, I was in Glasgow last spring, and when I went into the pub, I saw the tap, and I went, I got to try that one. And thought, just how disgusting is that? But it was wonderful. And I'm going back in 2 weeks.
Oh, good for you.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, now that I'm a retired teacher, I can travel on the off hours.
All right. So. Well, enjoy and be careful out there. Thanks a lot. I remember years ago, one of the only Scottish beers I could get regularly was MacAndrew. Does anybody remember that one?
Doesn't ring
remember
a bell.
The name.
Yeah, it was. This is. I'm going back 35.
Sweet.
It was very strong. That's all I can remember.
Remember McEwen's. McEwen's been around the Scotch Ale for a long time.
This was before. Yeah, but this was not that. Let's go to Will in. Where are you calling from, Will?
Hello, I'm in Berlin, New York. I'm actually standing outside the Beer Diviner Brewery.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, where is John Post right now? I know where he is. I've been listening. And earlier I heard somebody mention that they were gluten intolerant. And I thought it would be remiss to not mention John Post Gruit beer. Now, I haven't been listening the whole time because I've been tending bar. But I'm not sure if you already talked about it.
So you're an employee, are you?
He hasn't.
All right, go ahead, John.
I am.
All right, well, the Gruit beer is not gluten-free. It just doesn't have any hops. It uses, it's the ancient way they made beer. Hops only came in around the 13th century. Uses artemisial herbs, yarrow, wormwood, a lot of raw honey, and it's slightly psychotropic. It wakes you up.
Wormwood was kind of banned for a while in beverages, yeah?
Only yeah, I had a problem getting it approved, and I had to send bottles to get them to test because it's got thujone in it, but I didn't have it. There wasn't enough for them to not let me do it. But
do you have a lot of poets at the shop?
Oh, yeah. Writers, poets, musicians, you know, along with carpenters and, you know.
Fair enough. All right, look, I have to take this call because this is a hilarious question. Bonnie is calling from Denver. You're not in Colorado, are you, Bonnie?
No, I'm in the Catskill Mountains.
Ah, well, you're on the air, and I love your question, so go ahead, ask our brewers.
Okay. Well, basically, I hate beer. And I've had beer literally, you know, three times in my life, and I'm an old woman. So I'd like to know what kind of beer, how can I change that? What kind of beer could I get that I might like?
Okay. Hutch has an idea. Hutch Kugelman.
Bonnie, what do you like to drink? What do you like that's not beer?
To drink?
Yeah. Do you like cocktails? Do you like wine? Do you like sodas?
I like
margaritas.
A martini.
Oh.
I like a martini. Yes. I like single malt whiskey, single malt scotch.
Well, all right. You're doing very well, Bonnie.
That's beer.
Yeah, single malt scotch. You should be going for the big, rich malty beers. Bock, Doppelbock, Scotch Ale. They'll have a lot of that same kind of caramelly, rich sweetness that comes from the grain. I think you might like one of those. They're not exactly what you're thinking of as beer. You try Bock or Doppelbock or Scotch Ale.
That's a great idea.
I have the opposite reaction, Bonnie. When I drink a Scotch, it tastes like a really strong beer, and I'm like, I can't drink this.
Well,
it's too strong.
Maybe a barley wine for Bonnie.
Barley wine.
All right, so we're about out of time here. Roger Savoy, how do people find out about Homebrew Emporium and the Emporium Farm Brewery?
We're at beerbrew.com, and we've been there for 25 years, actually longer. The brewery's right next door to that, and if you've got any questions, we're more than happy to help with anything.
Beautiful. Jonathan Post, how do we find out about the Beer Diviner?
I guess Google.
No, I don't know. Well, you're very laid back. Hutch Kugelman.
You come see us at the CIA. We actually have our own beer festival coming up in about 2 weeks called Brew You, April 20th on the campus. We'll have 25 area breweries, food stations, culinary demonstrations, classes
about
beer.
Hyde Park, New York.
In Hyde Park, New York, yep. Come visit the CIA brewery, and you can buy tickets. It should be a great time.
Thank you very much. Erica Anderson, Unified Beer Works.
Yeah, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook at Unified Beer Works, and also unifiedbeerworks.com, our website. We also have a May the 4th party coming up for all you space movie lovers.
Oh.
We won't say the trademarked name because,
One with Darth Vader and whatnot?
Maybe.
Yeah, I
got
you 100%. Hey, all of you, thanks so much for being here. That was a fast hour. Mm-hmm. Support comes from Herzog's Garden Center, Kingston, specializing in hand-selected trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, and tropical and flowering houseplants from sources throughout the Northeast, Herzogs.com. Pioneer Valley Food Tours, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering walking and bicycle food tours that explore local food and beverages from source to table, PioneerValleyFoodTours.com. And Sap Bush Hollow Farm, a seasonal cafe in Schoharie County, serving local foods 50 minutes from Albany, open Saturdays 9 to 2, April through November, sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. Once again, thanks to Erica, Hutch, Roger, and Jonathan for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend.